Friends, if you could turn, please, to Romans chapter 12, 12th chapter of Romans. We'll read through the first 12 verses. So let us hear the word of God as it's found in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Amen. That verse 12, continuing, the end of it, continuing steadfastly in prayer. As you see, that verse is part of a longer chain of exhortations. But it says there we are to rejoice in hope, we're to be patient in tribulation, we're to continue steadfastly in prayer, or we are to be devoted in prayer, as some translations would render it. The normal Christian life is a life devoted to prayer. Now, why should we be continuing steadfastly in prayer? Why should we be devoted to prayer? Here are three brief answers. Firstly, beloved, the Bible tells us to pray, and therefore we should do what God says. The text, along with many other in Scripture, tells us to continue steadfastly in prayer. If we are not doing that, then obviously we are disobedient to the Scriptures. And disobedience to the Scriptures is obviously foolish and dangerous. But, let's be honest, even as believers, we do find prayer difficult at times. Prayer doesn't come easy. And prayer doesn't come easy because we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. So acknowledging that prayer doesn't come easy, then, you know, we need to see the importance of corporate prayer. And we need to fight against that temptation not to pray because, you know, it is difficult. No better place to fight that weakness when it comes to prayer than in a corporate prayer meeting. Don't let your sins, your weaknesses, worldly inclinations rule you. God says, continue steadfast in prayer. And so we must fight in this spiritual battle. We must fight when it comes to prayer. Secondly, the needs of our own life, the needs of our families, the needs of the church, the needs of the cause of mission in the world, and even our society. is in desperate need. And so those things alone should be driving us to the throne of grace. And when we think of the state of society, when we think of some of the members of our own family near and dear to us who are unsaved, we realize that heaven and hell hang in the balance. Faith and unbelief, life and death. Remember Paul's grief and anguish for his perishing kinsmen. You know, a couple of chapters back in Romans chapter 2, he's saying how he wants, you know, to be an outcast himself for the sake of his countrymen. And then in chapter 9, verse 2, he says that he's great sorrow and continual grief in his heart for his countrymen. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, my longing, my prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. He prays for them earnestly. Salvation hangs in the balance when we pray. You will not know what prayer is until you know that prayer life is a war and we're engaged in a spiritual battle, as I said. And one of the great obstacles to prayer is that life sometimes for us can be just too routinely smooth, and we cannot adopt that mindset of being at ease in Zion when there's a battle raging, when there's a spiritual battle raging. We can't sit in our tiny little bubble sometimes and think, well, I've got a degree of peace and contentment, all is well in my own life. Friends, we need God to open our eyes to see and to feel the needs of those around us and to realize the great potential of prayer and the power of prayer. And this thirdly, third reason to pray is that God acts when we pray. We have learned this over the years, haven't we? And you've learned it also in your Christian lives, how God answers prayer, how God acts in response to prayer. Now, obviously, the response to that is thankfulness. And as we come to prayer tonight, thanks should also mark our petition and praise around the throne of grace. When we met at the beginning of last month, wasn't it? We were talking about Asher's Bakery and the case was coming up to make it a matter of prayer. And God answered that, didn't he? We prayed, God acted. And we need to remember to thank God for that. Others of you have had personal answers to prayer, others which have been quite miraculous. You know, let's focalize our thankfulness to God. And as we do it corporately, the body of Christ says to God, amen. Thank you for that. Now, obviously, there are more reasons than I've just highlighted in those three. You know, God commands us to pray, so let's pray. The needs around us are great and eternal things are at stake. And certainly God acts when we pray. Let us remember, beloved, God has established prayer as the means by which we receive supernatural help. And without supernatural help, we cannot live a life worthy of the gospel. Everything that distinguishes Christians from the world in a Christ-exalting way is a work of God's supernatural grace. And God has ordained that this grace flows to us through prayer. That's why prayer must be central, not peripheral. That's why we try to make an effort, a concerted effort, to engage in prayer in these dark days in which we live. We have the quarterly prayer sessions, and now we're extending this once a month to the Wednesday nights, so that we can see the importance of prayer. We must be a praying people, calling out to God to move in our midst. The devil hates prayer. Our own flesh does not naturally love it. As I say, it's a battle. It doesn't come full born and complete and passionate from the womb of our heart. As we wrestle against it, it takes a renewed discipline. And meeting together corporately to pray is certainly an encouragement and a great aid and assistant.